Good afternoon, my moon dancers. I'm currently speaking to you from somewhere deep in New Orleans, with apologies for not having recorded some of my adventures and got back to you earlier. It seems an age since we talked. Most of that has to do with the fact that I have either had no time because I've been thoroughly enjoying myself, or I've stayed at some places where the Wi-Fi has been absolutely abysmal, and I haven't actually been able to physically record something. So this is for you. I will flood your ears with tales of adventure and excitement. I've got, I think, 4 weeks or so to catch up on. Grab some popcorn. Get yourself a lovely soft drink. Relax. This could be a long one. Oh, and additional apologies if you happen to hear the sound of running water. There was a terrific storm last night. So much banging on the shutters and the windows. And the storm was pretty bad as well. So what you might be hearing are the storm drains clearing the roof in preparation for another deluge of biblical proportions. I'm an Englishman. I know what rain is like, but this is like no kind of rain I have ever seen. Tropical storms, I suppose. Anyway, Ohio. After the disastrous bus ride, it was a pleasure to have some comforts of home. I was staying with a friend, so a comfortable bed, good food, really good breakfast, actually. The company of squirrels on the patio in the morning and the chirruping of cicadas in the evening. A very American suburban experience, I suppose. It was relaxing, calming, and I needed some of that in preparation for what was going to follow. I don't know if you've ever been to Ohio, but I've been told many times that there isn't much interesting going on there, that it's quite a dull place. I think people are wrong. We started off visiting a place called Asterix, which is a tea supper room. A very eclectic looking place, lots of teapots, and you are surrounded by books, so you can have a lovely cup of tea. I chose Earl Grey, of course, and you can read one of the many books. It's like having tea in the library, really. Apparently a lot of the students go there, and I was right in the middle of the student quarter. 40,000 students go to this particular university, I believe. So, my kind of place. I felt surrounded by intellectuals. Oh. At least I could have a decent conversation that wasn't to do with somebody's hat. After that, well, I settled in, as one does, and then decided to do some exploring. Since my friend was working most of the time, I had the place to my own, and I went for a trip to the zoo. It's been years since I went to a zoo. Now, I have a rather uneasy relationship with zoos. On the one hand, these animals are wild animals. They're kept in captivity. They're not free, and that bothers me a great deal. On the other hand, without the conservation and education work that zoos do, a great majority of these animals would already be extinct. As I say, an easy relationship. But when a zoo is as high caliber as this, when the animals are obviously well cared for, when they have enrichment opportunities, when they look healthy, happy, when they are as looked after as one can be in a cage, then yes, you know, it can be an experience to remember. There was so many different things that I could tell you. For a start, it was horrendously hot. This heat wave we've been having spreading across the horizon, rippling like the African savannah, which was one of the exhibits I went to see. Giraffes, zebra, wildebeest, gazelles, hyenas in the distance. There was actually a fashion shoot going on while I was there. A very attractive young model and the photographer, what looked like her PA or whatever it was, makeup artist dolling her up, disappeared behind this curtain, came out in several outfits and had the backdrop of the animals. It's they kept following me around, or perhaps I was following them. I don't know, but I tried not to make myself look too conspicuous. Back to the animals. As I said, if you ever get the opportunity, this is an extremely good zoo. I've put up a few photographs for you to see. I think the pictures are worth 1,000 words of explanation from me. Some of the animals that I saw there, I had never come across before. I had a close encounter with a Tasmanian devil and a wolverine. When you have looked into the eyes of a polar bear, that sends shivers down your spine. So, I hope you enjoy that little section. We can move on to something else. As well as staying with my friend, I was meeting up with a very, very old GWA friend. One of my first friends that I made on GWA, actually, a few years ago, at a place called Cracker Barrel, which she chose this as our meeting place because she wanted to give me an authentic American eating experience. I wasn't quite sure what she meant by that, but when I walked into the place, it was like this throwback to the 1930s, a sort of general store with things hanging from the ceiling, snowshoes for some bizarre reason in the middle of Ohio, pots, pans. It was a shop, and then you go around the corner and it happens to be a restaurant. Had a rather pleasant meal there, enjoyed the company immensely. She knows who she is, and I was inspired to write a little poem in her honor. Perhaps I will put that one up for you to read. Following that, things took a turn for the decidedly kinky. Oh, that's woken you up, hasn't it? Right, well, my friend and I went to a gay nightclub. They happened to have a burlesque show playing. We just about caught the end of that. But the main reason we were there is to see a drag show starring Alyssa Edwards. I don't know if you are familiar with the performer. She was on RuPaul's Drag Race. And another friend of mine is a huge fan of RuPaul's Drag Race and said to me that I needed to go and see a drag show. Apparently it would make me become a more rounded human being. Well, I had my photograph taken with Alyssa. She is a very tall girl. I think it may have been the 6-inch stilettos as well. No, you don't get to see that one. But I have a few other photographs that you might want to see. VIP seats right at the side. Talked to a very nice guy. My friend got to dance with him up on stage. She was also chatted up by this rather charming young lady who, when she found out that my friend was with me, was exceedingly disappointed. But she did comment on the fact that I was very well dressed, so that was obviously the secret of my success. I, on the other hand, met this charming young man in the Q queue to the meet and greet, who seemed to like my English accent, and was very disappointed when I told him that, unfortunately, I couldn't take him up on his offer. Oh dear, if you want a great night out, go to a gay nightclub. Well, this one in particular, it was fascinating. There were some wonderful people there, had a great time. I myself didn't get to dance, but there you go. And following on from that, things got even kinkier. There is a place which is a space reserved for kink workshops. It's very kink positive. The people there are generally welcoming. I found them to be a lovely crowd, mostly to do with education. I was racking my brains to try and find a place like this that existed. In England, we have sex clubs, we have events that you can go to, but I can't think of a place that is dedicated, as this one was, to kink education. Not just the technical side of different types of play, but also safe practices, trying to dispel this myth that the media has, based on a bloody awful book. Yeah, you know the one I mean, don't you? So it was a relief to actually find like-minded people to talk with. There are only, I believe, 4 of these places in America. Maybe when I get back to England, I should try and set one up myself. Now there's a mission for life, isn't there? So what did I do there? That's what you really want to know, isn't it? I tried fire play for the first time. It sounds more dangerous than it actually is. Well, no, let's not dispel the dangers. It can be bloody dangerous if you don't watch what you're doing. You are literally playing with fire. There was a chap demonstrating, and he and his submissive, they had a great routine. A lot of humour involved in this, but they emphasised the safety aspect. They showed you what you needed to do. You have essentially 2 chopsticks wrapped with linen and cotton, and you soak those in alcohol and set them on fire. You then have a willing submissive who lies down on a couch, partially clothed or naked, it doesn't matter, their choice, and you run your hand over the flame. Now the trick I learned is that if you don't leave the flame in one spot for any length of time, it's like a heat massage, very much like heat therapy. So I was allowed under his supervision, because I'd never done it before. I said, would you guide me through what I'm supposed to do? I used a technique called hot hands. You warm your hand with the flame, and then you use that to smooth the skin of your submissive. And that gets them used to the heat, a warm heat massage on their back. Then you can run the flame along their body, keeping it moving, keeping this fire like a living, breathing, sentient snake, a fire dragon. It looks absolutely spectacular. And then use your other hand in a stroking motion to make sure that the alcohol doesn't pool on her skin and cause problems. So it's a heat massage with a stroke of the hand, and it is very relaxing. I had it done on me. Quite enjoyed it. There are variations that you can do. You can use 2 sticks, for example, where you are spotting, like playing the drums. Do, 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 do. Rather like a hot stone massage. And you can even play the booty drums, which I did. Drumming on her bum. She quite enjoyed that. And there are other things that you can do. Predicament play, for example. He placed a lighted flame, the handle between her butt cheeks, and she tried to smack it away. I was going, no, clench, keep it there. Always with an eye to safety, always as the top, watching what happens with the flame, making sure you keep anything combustible well out of the way, making sure that you have a way of dousing the flame just in case. He also introduced a little fear play. What you do is you make sure that your submissive can see that you are lighting two of these sticks. And then when she's face down and can't actually see what's happening, you warm her, use the same techniques I've just described. And then when she's not looking, you blow out one of the sticks. And then pretend you've dropped it. Oh shit, I've just dropped the stick. The scream was wonderful. But then I'm a sadistic bastard at heart. Again, it's all in the mind. People are conditioned to be afraid of fire. If you know what you're doing, if you're switched on, if you are careful, it's no more dangerous than some other things are. There was one thing, though, that I didn't try, but my friend did. It is referred to as the Towel of Terror. Oh, yes, well, that's a name to conjure with, isn't it? A towel with a layer of ice and another towel soaked in alcohol is placed on your body, on your back, or my friend had it on her chest, and then you set fire to the top towel. It looks like the person is in flames. It was described to me like a heat therapy massage or backpack. Once the heat becomes a little bit too intense, all you do is extinguish it. I talked to the fella who was running the workshop, and I said I was surprised that some therapist somewhere hasn't thought of setting this up as an alternative therapy, and apparently this is the way it started in ancient China. Heat play was used as a therapy, as a muscle relaxant. You ought to try it sometime. As I said, it looks absolutely stunning, especially in low light. And you come out feeling so relaxed afterwards. As opposed to electricity play, which I also tried and I hated. I wouldn't mind so much perhaps doing on somebody else, but I definitely didn't like it done on me. The person running it had this generator set up, and you hold one end of a wire connector, and she holds the other. You make a circuit, and she was drawing her nails down my arm. It felt like a bundle of stinging nettles being dragged down my arm. Very unusual sensation. And she said that it's sometimes used for the purposes of branding. You can leave a lovely, swirly red mark. She said you can even write your name in their flesh. No, thank you. I think I'll leave that up to trying on somebody else, but it didn't do it for me at all. On the other hand, I got to see a suspension being performed. Rope is my thing, as you probably know if you follow some of my blogs and audios. Funny enough, when I was talking to the woman doing the suspension on her friend, she was using very simple knots. Now, I like elaborate knots. I like my ties to look pretty. So I questioned her on this, and well, she gave me some very straightforward answers. The first one being, you don't want someone hanging around for too long to be suspended. They want to be up, and fair enough. And you also need something which you can dismantle quickly. So, yeah, I can agree with that. I still like my knots to look pretty. after that, I went to a seminar being held by the organizers of the event, the people who own it and run it, on negotiation for play. Now, some of this I already know, but it's always good to have a different perspective and listening to what they had to say about how you set up a negotiation for a scene. It was absolutely fascinating. They talked about three columns to match with someone else. Needs, wants, and desires. Your needs are the absolute non-negotiables. This is what you need from the encounter, and if you can't get at least one from that need column list, then you and the other person are not compatible, and it's probably better to move on to someone else who is. The wants column? Well, the wants column, these are things that you could possibly want from an encounter. Your needs will be determined to a certain extent what the wants are, and you'll have to negotiate with your partner on that. And the final column is desires. Something which you would perhaps hope, the little things that don't often happen, but when they do, they make your scene so much more intense. And he said that if you can get one need, one want, and one desire, and match that with something with your partner, then that makes for a wonderful experience. I can subscribe to that. When I first started GWA, if I had drawn a needs, wants, and desires table, then there would have been very little in each column. Now, I have a list as long as your arm. Which just means I'm probably compatible with a lot more people. Open yourself up to new experiences. Even if you discover you don't like electricity, if you haven't tried it, you never know, do you? So where did this all lead? Well, it led to a play party. I was invited along to one of those. I was purely an observer of this. My friend was playing with a friend of hers, and I kind of went along as wingman just to make sure she had someone to go with. So I spent a lot of time in the quiet room observing people, wandering around, seeing what was going on. If you have never been to a play party before, you should be prepared for all kinds of naughtiness. There was a fellow in the corner strapped to a St. Andrew's cross being spanked by two women. There was a man dressed in lingerie having wax dripped on him by somebody. There was a girl in the corner strapped to a chair with a sign around her saying free use, and yep, she was being made free use of. There was a paddling going on. Boy, did they have a selection of paddles. It was like a cricket bat being used at one point. There was a chap who was obviously being mummied in the corner. But I got talking to a few people there. And they're ordinary people like you and me. They just happen to have a kinky mindset. It was very open. Very tolerant. People were being who they really wanted to be. There's no judgment. There's no shaming. And I found it an extremely liberating experience. On the other hand, being a single male, I was being watched very carefully. This is something that annoys me a little about kink events, kink groups. A single male always attracts a lot of attention, a lot of suspicion. It can take weeks, months, until you are accepted. All the while, people are watching your every move, listening to what you say, how you conduct yourself. I understand that from the point of view of safety. You know, you're going to want to watch new people, and single males always, as I say, attract that kind of suspicion. I remember applying for a membership of a club in England. I had to actually write a CV with my past experience on it. It was a 3-month waiting list. I could have been blackballed at any time by any member for anything without any reason. However, wouldn't a single female attract the same kind of suspicion? Well, no. Single females at a kink event are like gold dust. Everybody surrounds them. Yes, I'll leave that one perhaps for another discussion. That was pretty much it for Ohio. All I can say is that I had some jolly good meals there. We ate out down by the waterfront, down by the river. It was a gorgeous night. They had these little swing chairs that you can sit in and just relaxing, taking the ambience. It was quite a pretty little city that I was in. Like a lot of places, when you live there, you don't tend to think it's particularly exciting. But when a stranger arrives, perhaps they see things that you don't. It was a marvelous night for a moon dance. And I will take away some very fond memories of Ohio. Of the people I met there, of one or two very special people that I met there. And I thank them for their time, and I hope you enjoy the pictures that I've put up. I hope to speak to you again soon. Next time, Nashville.